to you all who continually listen to our podcast and who download the podcast. That's been a blessing also. So here I'm going to turn to 1 Timothy 6:11, and then I'm going to do Ephesians 6:12. And now I want to have the hiccups all of a sudden. That's got to stop. Ephesians, 1 Timothy 6:11 and Ephesians 6:12. And, you know, God has been dealing with me on some things about just mind shift and mind change, and things have just been changed. Oh, also want to remind you, I knew it was something I was getting. Those who are going to the TDJ conference, I put in those who indicated that they want online access. You should be getting something this week. Amen. If you have not already gotten an email. So I would follow up with that. I want to make sure that we all, you know, hopefully we'll get the emails very soon. The conference actually starts on this Thursday and it runs through the weekend. So keep in mind with that. If you sent me your stuff, I did put it in there for the conference on this week. Amen. Amen. So I do look forward. I mean, it was my intention to go the whole week, but I don't know if that's possible now because some things that was out of my control has now transpired. But nonetheless, I think it's important that we go and we take advantage of that, which we've already paid for. All right, so let's go to 1 Timothy. Let me get my screen here. 1 Timothy, where did it go? 1 Timothy. All right, we're on 1 Timothy, and we are in verse 11. And it says this. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickened all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou shalt keep thy commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appalling of the Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times hath shown who is blessed and only potent the Pontinate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, whom only have immortally dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. This is a charge to ministers, or a charge to, and we all are ministers of the gospel, that is a charge that was given to the ministers. That was coming from Paul's letter unto Timothy. Now, if you turn with me to Ephesians, a very familiar passage of scripture, 6:11. Okay. Ephesians 6:11. And it says this. Where it started, verse 10. And it says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, Stand therefore with your loins girt about you with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. Would you pray with me? Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning. Lord, we just want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you've done, Lord Jesus. You've been so good to us. Lord, I ask that you forgive us of all our sins, those known and unknown to us. Oh, God, I ask that you help me to bring forth this word on this morning, Lord Jesus, Lord, to say what it is that you have us to say, to do what you have us to do, Lord Jesus, to go forth how you have us to go forth. Lord, I ask that this word, Lord Jesus, be right on time for someone, Lord Jesus, that it be penetrating, oh God, Lord Jesus, that they see, Lord Jesus, that for which it is, oh God, Lord Jesus, that you help them, oh God, Lord Jesus, to know and understand, oh God, that you are God, Lord Jesus, to know that you have it all in your hand, oh God, to know that you're able, Lord Jesus, that you can and you will do each and everything, Lord Jesus, we ask of you to do, Lord, and we just want to thank you for that, Lord, we honor you for that, Lord, and we praise your name for that, Lord, and we give your name all the honor. And all the praise, oh God, the glory and power, Lord, for us, yours and yours alone, for we dare not trust our glory, Lord, you in all that ways, Lord Jesus, we acknowledge you, Lord, and you say that you would direct our paths. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, and we love you, and we praise your name for that, Lord, and we give your name all the honor and all the praise, oh God, glory and power, Lord, for it belongs to you and you alone. We ask you to do things to others in Jesus' name, for we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. If I would be able to take the moment here, I'm not going to be before you long on this one. At least that's what I'm saying now. You never know when the Holy Ghost takes over. Amen. I want to talk to you from the subject of change your point of view. Change your point of view. Change your point of view. I know sometimes that you and I, we find ourselves in places that we have a point of view. We come with a particular point of view for whatever reason. You know, usually they say that we are the sum of our decisions. And therefore, if you've had decisions to make, you look at things that you've done in the past. You know, one of the things that tells us if you want to know your future, then you look at your history and you look at the things that have happened in the past. And then you're able to take those things that happened from the past and make what we call our evidence-based decision. And that you made an evidence-based decision is that you use the things that you've seen that happened in the past, things that happened before, and you gather that information and you took that information to make a future prediction of what was going to happen. And see, the Bible reminds us that we are what? Not to lean into our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him and that he would direct our paths. The problem with that theory, the problem with us doing that is that sometimes we lean on our own. We know what has happened in the past, and we've seen what's happened to others. That so now we come in and we make our own conjectures and things that say, okay, because this happened to him or this happened to her, that then this is bound to happen to me. But when we serve a God who's the God of the atmosphere, we serve a God who's the God of the utmost, we serve a God who's unlimited, that just because something happened to somebody else and it happened to them, that doesn't necessarily mean that's how it's going to happen for you. That what, based on your talent, based on the things that you have, based on the gift and the skills that God has given you, that your outcome may be a little different. This is why we call it that we walk by faith and not by sight, because if I continue to walk, you know, see, and I look at what everybody else has done, that somebody else may have fallen off the side, someone else may have come into this, but I also know that what I'm putting in wisdom, that I what lean not into my own understanding, but I ask God for what to do. And, you know, if we look back at historically, that, you know, in the Bible, before they went into battle, they always asked God for the victory. They asked God for the victory in battle, because when they went to battle, they didn't just know the outcome. But if they know that if God told them that they can go in battle, if God told them that they would have the victory, that this victory was certain, that no matter what come, no matter what made, no matter what the situation looked like, no matter what came in, no matter what said what, no matter who moved what, when God tells you that you have victory, that you can take it to the bank, that you are to what stay steadfast and unmovable, and to change your point of view. That sometimes in changing our point of view means that we have to change our positioning. Oh, come on, somebody. Sometimes that what we find ourselves that we are in a position of weakness. Sometimes we find ourselves that we put ourselves in a position that now we become the victim and not a survivor. That we put ourselves in a position that we are looking at things that from a point of view that we're looking at from a human point of view, but we're not looking through the lens and the eyes of the Spirit. For God has given us not the spirit of fear, but He's given us the spirit of love and power and of a sound mind. That our mind is to be sound, that the Lord, no, come hell or high water, come with me, Lord Jesus. I know that you have the power to plug it up one and put up one. Lord, I know that the government sits on your shoulders. I know you said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as wings of an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Lord, I know, Lord Jesus, that you put it up when you take down. I know that you hold the king's heart in your hand, Lord Jesus. You can turn it whatever way that you may. Lord, I am reminded that, Lord Jesus, there was a battle that going on, Lord Jesus. As long as it was daylight, they were winning the battle, Lord Jesus. But when the battle started, the darkness started to come, oh God, they needed more time, Lord Jesus. And you told the Lord Jesus, the sun to stand still, oh God. You told the earth to stand still on its axis, oh God, so that they can finish the battle, oh God. Lord, you remind me, Lord Jesus, that you feed the birds of the air, oh God, that you will certainly take care of me, oh God. If we, Lord Jesus, being people, Lord Jesus, of evil and wicked spirits, would do good things for our children, no more would you not do for us, oh God. I'm reminded, oh God, that I have to change my point of view. So many times, brothers and sisters, we got in a place that we see what we see at the table. See, the way you sit at the table determines how you see things. And sometimes we've been seeing things from a place of desolate. We've been seeing a place of being pessimistic. We've been seeing in the place that, Lord, what else could happen? Instead of saying, Lord, I'm going to be the game changer. That, Lord, that this thing is going to change because I sit at the table. And because I sit at the table and I bring you to the table. Lord, I truly serve you. That some have a form of godliness, that some have a form of what they believe, some have a form of this, but Lord, we are the people of God, Lord Jesus, that we have the true power, we have the true understanding, that we have the true recognition of you, Lord Jesus, with the power of the Holy Ghost inside of us, oh God, that we should be able to step to the table and be able to say these things, oh God. But so many times, Lord, we have taken down, oh God. Why? Because we feel, Lord Jesus, that we are a second class, Lord Jesus. We're second class. I'm here to remind you today that God has made you a peculiar people, that He's made you the head and not the tail, that He made you above and not beneath, that He's made you both winner and conqueror through Christ Jesus. He said that if you were what? That, look, He's trading this old filthy garment, and He's going to give us a new garment. That He's coming, He's cleansed us, and He's made us white as snow. And we have to remind ourselves, brothers and sisters, that it's depending on where we sit at, Lord Jesus, that changes out, that determines how we see things. I'm imploring you today. I'm challenging you today. I'm asking you today that you look at your point of view. Some of us have been looking at this thing for a point of time and say, Lord, why are we in this situation? And I'm on it and I'm understanding until we change our point of view that we will be in this situation. That sometimes God has you in a situation because it's more of a shadow. It's not, you know, in the shadow, the Bible talks about what? That in the 23rd Psalm that we walk through, what? The shadow of death. That it's not on you, but there's what? There's some protection in the shadows. Mm-hmm. Why is that protection in the shadow? What you find is the protection that occurs in the shadows is that what you don't get the full brunt of what's going on. You don't get the full exposure of that sunlight. You don't get the full exposure of that heat. You don't get the full exposure of that because what? You're in the shade. That some of us, God has had some of us in the shade, and some of us, we've been in the shade and we've been fighting to get out of the shade, but you are in the shade for your protection. You're in the shade for your growth. You're in the shade for your prosperity. You're in the shade for your transformation. That was in the shade that way He's building you. It's in that shade that He's transforming you. It's in that shade that He's changing things, and things are moving and things are growing. And what you're going to find is there's going to be a day that you're not going to be in the shade, but you have to change your point of view. Change how you see the situation. Change how you think about it. For those who are taking notes today, number one, I want you to understand and know that your positioning determines how you see things. If you come from a positioning of victimhood, if you come from a position of, Lord, why is this happening to me? Lord, if you come from a position of, Lord, why is this happening? You know, why is this circumstance, Lord, why did my husband leave? Why did my wife leave? Lord, why was there infidelity? Why was there, Lord, my job? Lord, why did they pick this one over somebody else? Lord, why did they put this in this situation? Why is this one on drugs? Lord, why did you bless this one? We cannot go into a place and look at it and why. As we read on today, that what? That God, Lord, He's put us in these places. That we don't fight against flesh and blood, but we fight against what? Wickedness that's in what? High places. There are things that are what? Beyond you and I. There's things that He has up there that He's told us, and what He's telling us to do is that you're not to give up, that you are to fight the good fight. That You are to fight the good fight, and you are to go forward. I know sometimes it seems like we're losing. I know sometimes it seems like we're spinning our wheels. You ever seen your car that just spin wheels? It's moving really fast. It seems like we're on the treadmill of life. It seems like, but even in that treadmill, what we're doing is we're building endurance. We're building some endurance. We're building, you know, our muscles up to be able to go further and to be able to go faster and to be able to go stronger. That even when it seems like we're just marking time, and sometimes it seems like, you ever seen an airplane? The airplane, when they call, they in a holding pattern. And what a holding pattern does is that what they have them flying in very large circles, circles of about 20 to 25 miles, that they're flying in these circles. And some of us find ourselves that God has had us in a holding pattern for a while. But I'm here to tell you today, Safe House Church, that landing day is coming out the while. That landing is going to be soon. That we're not going to keep flying this circle pattern. But the reason God has you flying some patterns sometimes, the reason he has you where he has you, the reason he's moving you the way he's moving you is because he's allowed some things to be worked out. See, sometimes we want things when we want them, but sometimes some things just have to be worked out. Sometimes that the Bible tells us what? Not to lean into our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him. So that while you think you're ready, that God has some things on the ground that he's working out. There's some things on the ground that has to be moved so that what? That your landing will be smooth. Oh, come on, somebody. That what? There's some other things that are there. There's some other places that are there. There's some other people and some other places that are in the way. But what God has set up for you that no man can take from you, that what God has set up for you that no man can come in and take away and remove. Anyway, I'm here to remind you today that God has a plan for you. And I want to remind you that, look, what you're fighting against is not on this earth. What you're fighting against is not of this world, but what it's in high places. And you got to know the place which you stand in. You got to know the place that you sit in. And I want to remind you and I want to encourage you today to know that what God has you in, he has you in a position. You just need to change your point of view. You just need to change your point of view to say, Lord, okay, God, I don't understand what it is that you got me going through. Lord, I don't understand. I don't see where it's coming from. But Lord, I know that you've kept me, oh God. Lord, despite of it, Lord, you're still good. Lord, despite of it, Lord, we haven't lost a thing, oh God. Despite of it, oh God, you still bless us financially, oh God. Despite of it, oh God, you open up a door, oh God. Despite of it, oh God, Lord, you continue to help us, oh God. Despite of it, oh God, Lord, you seem like I did not lose anything. Uh-huh. See, some of you worried about saying, well, I'm not here, or I'm not there, but I'm here to tell you today, what did you lose? I'll wait. What did you lose? The thing, in fact, you gained things by being in the position that you've been in. You've been able to float right below the radar where all this stuff is going on. It's been, what, a season of protection for us, church. There's many things going on here. Trust me, your pastor wants to be in a broken motor building like everybody else, but God has had us in this season of protection. Have you seen how things have just been going up and down? Have you seen how the gas prices have been going up and down? Have you seen how these things have just been transpiring? But God has had us, what, in a season of protection. That what, we need to change our point of view. In fact, what is happening is while we're in this point of view, that we, what, our church has been growing. We've been getting better. We've been getting stronger. We're getting, well, see what God has done is what each and every one of you as an individual, you're a stronger believer now than you were when you first came. And this is what, not just because of the Safe House Church, but what sometimes you are what required to stand on your own two feet. The Bible said when you've done all you've done that you can do to stand, and what, keep standing, that you stand with your lions girded against you, that you ought to continue to stand. I'm here to tell you today that you keep standing, you keep praying, you keep fasting, that what each and every one of us can see the reason we get stronger is what, that each and every individual is stronger. It's often said that the chain is only strong as its weakest link. Uh-huh. And if the weakest link is you, then what? You need to be strong so that the rest of us are be strong. And all together, then we're strong. So what? Safe House Church, we're only as strong as what? Our weakest link, amen. And therefore, what? We all are praying. We all are fasting in different times. We all are going forth. And I'm here to tell you today that God has not forgotten you, that what, you just need to change your point of view. That despite, Lord, whatever job you have, that what, God has blessed you with raise. And God has continued to open up doors. He sent bonuses and he sent little ways for you to make extra money. And he sent ways for this. And we keep talking about financial blessing. And we talk about God opening up doors. But what God has done is he's opened up doors right in the midst of where you are. You know your job title didn't change, but he's opened up some doors right there where you are. Know you to your position and didn't change, but he opened up some doors right there where you are. And some of you have been able to do that right now. That God has opened up doors for you right where you were. And what you looked at them as something different. You looked at them as, oh, God, I want this and I want that. When God is what been positioning you, I'm here to tell you today, I'm preaching to somebody today, I'm talking to somebody today, that God has you exactly poised for the next turn. He has you poised for the next breakthrough. But what, there's some things that he has to work out. There's some people he has to move. There's some situations. And then what? All things work together for the good of them who are called, who love the Lord, or who are called according to his purpose. If you are purpose driven, if you are called according to his purpose, I'm here to tell you today that he has a way. All you got to do is trust him. That this is why we sung the song that I would not trust in chariots. We're not trusting our earthly possession. We're not trusting these things, but we have to what trust in him, that what he is directing, he is leading, that he is guiding, and that he's pulling us. And it's all about our point of view. Let me talk to you another. So the second point of view that I want to talk about to you a little bit is, you know, a whack-a-mole mentality. A whack-a-mole mentality. What is whack-a-mole? I don't know about you, but I remember, and my kids, we go and we play these games in different places, amen. And sometimes this is how it is, the whack-a-mole. You see how that mole just keep coming up? You see how he just keep coming up? He gonna come up, and your job is what? To hit him. And you just keep hitting him, and you keep hitting him, and you keep going at him, you keep hitting him, and you keep hitting him. And what happens is sometimes we get tired. Sometimes we get tired in this race. And what we have to find out is, brothers and sisters, that in this whole whack-a-mole thing, this is why the Bible tells us what? That we are to fight the good fight. And what I mean by whack-a-mole, is that your job is not to kill the moles. See, your job is not to kill the most. See, sometimes we get stuck in this place that we think that it's our job to go in there and change the thing. But your job is simply in this case and in this season of God is what? Your job is what? Just to keep scoring. See, the object of the game is not, see, this is where we lose our point of view. This is where we get this, and this is why we find ourselves discouraged sometimes, is that when we get into a thing, we change what the game was. We changed what we thought it would be. Because, see, I don't know about you, but when I first get in front of one of those whack-a-moles, my thing is I want to hit every mole. I don't want another mole to come up. I want to hit him so hard that he doesn't want to come back up. But the truth of the matter is that, you know what? It's always going to be something that's going to come up. This is why we have to be flexible in God. This is why we have to be flexible because, you know, the things that frustrate me the most is that I have a set mentality on some things. It's like, I want things the way that I want them. I mean, I want this to happen this way. I want this to happen this way. And when God does, and when God allows another mold to pop up, and I didn't see that mold coming. I didn't anticipate that mold coming. I didn't see that situation coming. Sometimes it comes to frustrate me. Why? Because I have my mindset, Lord, I want this and I want it in this time. Lord, I want this car and I want it in this time. Lord, I want this situation and I want it in this time. Lord, I want this finance and I want it in this time. How many of you all are there? But what God does is God plays whack-a-mole with us. That as soon as you thought this was going to come up and you was anticipating this, then this mole over here comes up. And now you got to do what? You got to give your attention to that. And as soon as you give your attention to that, the one that you thought was going to come up all of a sudden comes up. Do you see what I'm saying? So what I'm understanding and what I'm coming to believe is that, brothers and sisters, our job is just to keep on scoring. Your job is just to keep scoring. And what score as many as you can. As score as many as you can. Know that it's always going to be a situation. Know that something is always going to come up. Know that the enemy is always going to stick his head up. Know that he's coming for you. Know that he got a target on your back. Know that he's gunning for you. You got to know these things. Why? Because the Bible tells us that what? That we of his, that what? If these things happen to him, then surely they're never going to happen to us. So you got to know and know that you know that you know that you know that what these things are going to happen, that these things are going to occur, that these situations are going to come, and you just don't know which one is coming. So you're always on your toes to know that, okay, God, I'm going to be flexible. God, whatever it is. This is why he said what? Lean out into your understanding. He going to what? He going to direct your path because he know where the moles are. He know which one is popping up next. Why? Because he understands the game. See, you and I, we don't understand this. I don't know how they just pop up. They just pop up. But he's told us that you're going to whack one. And we're going to continue to whack-a-mole. And we're going to go forward and we're going to whack another one. And we're going to whack one. We're going to whack another one. And therefore, what? We're just going to whack and keep whacking. And you know what? He said, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't be weary while you're out there whacking moles. Because what? All you're going to do is what? At some point in time, you ain't got to come. He tells us already that we fight against principality and spiritual wickedness where? In high places, which means that these places are above you and I. But my job is what? To whack a mole while I'm here. My job is to whack one while I'm here. If you change your view on the thing, if you can change your point of view, if you can change how you see it, if you can change how you understand it, my job here is just what? To whack a mole. My job here is to whack one. My job here is to just to kill, to hit one and what? Keep it going. So no, you're not going to save the whole world. Yes, it's our desire to see the whole world saved, but no, you're not going to save the whole world. But what about that brother or sister that you can reach out to? What about that sister or brother you can reach out to? What about that cousin or that relative that you can reach out to? What about that one? Mm-hmm. You make a difference for that person. So your job is, while you out here trying to save the world, how about start saving the one that's right with you? How about saving the one that's across the street from you? How about saving the one that's at the desk beside you? These are the things that he's called us to. And what we got to do is change our point of view, because when we look at it from the other point of view, we're going to get overwhelmed. We're going to see all these things and all these things that are occurring and all these things that are happening and all these things that are changing and all these situations that are growing and moving. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, Lord, what am I going to do? It's just too much. And what we find is that we become overwhelmed. But if we'll take it one assignment at a time, as the old African proverb says that, how do you eat the elephant? You eat the elephant one bite at a time. If you consistently keep doing it, you know, if you keep doing the thing that got you this, and if you keep doing the thing that got you that, and if you keep going on and you keep going and you keep going, at some point in time, you will get there if you don't give up. This is why we read what we read today. The Bible talks about that we persevere. And I want to talk about you today. Can you change your point of view? Will you persevere? Point number three, and I'm going to be done with you today. Have you ever considered your gifting? We talked about your passions and your gifting and all these things, different things and that we are to do, and that we know that what, you know, some say, well, follow your passion and follow your gift. And I believe that the Bible says that he will give you the desires of your heart, and that we will go forth and we will do these things and we will do these great things. And if you're passionate about it, like I am about preaching to God's people and about teaching to God's people, then what? Then, you know, you don't have to get paid for it, that you would just do it because it's the right thing to do, and you would do it because it's what. I'm here to tell you today that even in passion, there is some, but you must have some talent. Well, because the talent, you know, everybody wants to feel like they're winning sometimes. Everybody wants to feel like they're going to go through sometimes. This is why God continues to give us little caveats, and he sends little people along the way to remind us that what, that these things are changing in somebody else's life, that things are moving in somebody else's life, that somebody else is growing and they're getting better and they're going to the next situation. They're going to the next level. Why? Because you exist. Because you are able to help them. You are able to help them to grow. You are able to help them to go to the next level. You're able to help them change and modify and change their whole life and change their situation. You did that through Christ Jesus. Because what, God, he's coming back, but he's not here yet. And what is he doing? What, he's putting his spirit inside of us that what, we can go in there, change, and help somebody else change their point of view. To change your point of view. So I heard earlier this weekend, I never thought about it like this and never understood. You know, we often talk about Joseph, and we talk about how Joseph was a dreamer, and Joseph had this gift of dreams and all this. And someone that was, I think it was Pastor YPJ, he buried the question that, is it Joseph really had a gift of dreams, or was it really he had more of a gift of administration? So what I want to submit to you today is what you know versus what somebody's telling you. What you know versus what somebody's telling you. See, many of us have been told many different things. Many of us have been told time and time again, hey, look at this situation, or look at this circumstance, or hey, have you considered this, or have you considered that, or will you do this, or will you do that? And many of us have worked off of what we believe to be our passions and our talents. Amen. And here, what we remind, if you look at the story of Joseph, they said Joseph interpreted basically what, like, I think it was maybe three or four dreams. But if you think about Joseph's life, he was multi-talented. Joseph not only just interpreted those dreams, but he also what? He was an administrator. Joseph did things well. He organized things well. He ran things well. So if you go back and you find where you find that Joseph, what, he ran the governor. I mean, he ran the governor's house well. Joseph went to prison. What did he do? He ran the prison well. And then he got to be the prince of Egypt. What did he do? He ran the Egypt what? Well. So I ask you today, if you consider it from your point of view, if you change your point of view and look and say, okay, God, what am I good at versus what people have been telling me I'm good at? Because see, it's one thing when people start to pump you up and when people start to tell you things, when people start to put you in places and situations, that means that what they put you there, then they believe they also have the right to remove you. Did y'all catch that? When they believe that they put you there, they also believe that they have the right to remove you. This is why the Bible talks about us, we as believers, that promotion didn't come from the east, the west, the north, or the south, but promotion comes from God. Because when God puts you there, he also has the right to remove you too. But when God puts you there, he'll protect you. When God puts you there, he'll make sure you're glorious. He'll make sure that you're wonderful. He'll make sure that you're righteous. And he'll make sure what? That you win. I'm a living witness of it. When God puts you in position, he'll make sure that you win. And no, despite what the enemy tried to do, despite what the enemy said, despite what the enemy has done, despite what the enemy is trying to do, they're just what tools of instruments. They're what to buffer you, to make you better, to make you stronger, to make you faster, to make you pray a little harder, to make you consider some things. This is what they are. So I submit to you today, brothers and sisters, would you consider your position? Would you consider your gifting? Your gifting, what people told you you were versus what you know you are. See, some of us know that what? There's some things inside of us that people have not yet seen. That some of us, oh, you know what? They only seen us in our caterpillar stage. Because see, when the caterpillar is at the caterpillar stage, all you know him good for is what? Gorging. And all you know him good for is crawling and building this cocoon. But when you get through the caterpillar stage and you become that butterfly, that which was crawling is now flying. There's a song by Karen Clark Sheard that goes, I was a bird on the ground using my legs to get around. But once I understand who I was, that now what I get off my feet and now I fly on. Amen. And see, some of us are that bird walking around the ground. That God has been using this season of cocooning for us as a church. He's been using this season as cocooning. We're about just to take off. We're about at that point that where he's been working on your character. He's been working with who you are behind closed doors. He's been working on you in the darkness when nobody can see you. And he's been molding you. He's been moving you. He's been changing your mind about some things. He's been changing your tone. He's been changing your talk. He's been changing your walk. He's been changing how you believe and you walk into everything. And you've been so trusting of everything and everybody. But he said, well, trust no man. Oh, God, but put your trust not in the chariots of this earth, but put your trust in him that he is able to do above and beyond and exceedingly glad. That he's calling us out to be a peculiar people. And because we're a peculiar people, that means we have a big target on our back to say that when you are different, you think different, you walk on your own, you march to the beat of a different drum. Not that I march to my own drum, but I march to the drum of God. That I march to the drum of righteousness. That I march to the drum of peace. I march to the drum of his sinners and his grace and his righteousness. For he told me that what? That cast my cares, for he cares for us. So I am not to be worried about what this world does. I am not to be worried about tomorrow, but that what he has me, and he's continually shown himself over and over again to be able to do so. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many of you know that God is able? I'm asking you today, church, change your point of view. Change your point of view. Consider your positioning. How have you positioned yourself? Did you position you or did God position you? There's a difference. See, when I position myself, I put myself in position based on the things that I know and I understand. Because see, to me, I should be here. To me, I should be there. To me, I should be here. To me, I should be, you know what? I'm going to not work for nobody and I'm going to do it. No, but God has a plan. Can you trust? This thing boils back down to your faith. The Bible said, if I have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, I should speak to the mountain and the mountain has to move. Do you believe the mountain's going to move? Do you believe the mountain's moving? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? And this is what we have to ask ourselves. Do we really believe the way we say we believe? It's a challenge. Do you really go forth the way you say you go forth? If y'all not noticed, the last couple of times, God has been challenging me to challenge you. Because he's been challenging me. That where he's going to take us, it's going to require this. Where he wants us to go, it's going to require this. Where he wants us to walk, it's going to require this. Where he wants to talk, it's going to require this. And we are what? To trust him. And know that he is able. And know that he can. And to know that he will do above and beyond and exceedingly glad if we'll trust him. Change your point of view. Change your point of view. If you would change your point of view, God will bless you. He'll love on you. He'll be good to you. He'll take care of you. For God is always taking care of us. It's just we have not always acknowledged you. Change your point of view. I hope that this message has been helpful. I'm grateful.